Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts. And also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-708-3095. 800-708-3095. 800-708-3095. That's 800-708-3095.
Welcome, everyone, to Blog Talk USA. Before we get started, I need to make sure Pastor Riggins can hear me. Can you hear me, Pastor Riggins?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, excellent. If anyone had any problems getting on the line tonight, we do apologize for that. I'm not quite sure what was going on, but we are all here now, and I see the lines are lit up. Thank you for joining us. We are here on this beautiful April 9th for Wrap It Up Live with Pastor A.F. Riggins on Blog Talk USA. Before we get started, I'll tell you how you can find us, and I'll be quick about it, too. You can always listen to us online at blogtalkusa.com. That's our 24-hour network. If you're listening online and you would like to comment or ask questions during any live program, especially this live program, Wrap It Up Live, please do call our call-in line. You can listen live at this number, or you can listen live and press 1 time to join the discussion. And it's 515-605-9375. You can also listen online at our Blog Talk Radio channel, which is blogtalkradio.com/blogtalkusa. Please click follow once you find us there, and you can peruse through our archived episodes, over 1,400 episodes, almost 1,500 episodes of every program that we have, including this program, Wrap It Up Live. And you can set timers and remind yourself when live episodes are coming up right there at our Blog Talk Radio channel. You can also find us at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the TuneIn app by typing Blog Talk USA into the search bar and click subscribe once you find us. And finally, one more thing. We do want to remind everyone that Tuesday night, our good friend, excellent friend for Blog Talk USA, and to my show, Eyes Wide Open, Mike Collier, who is running in Texas on the Democratic ticket for Lieutenant Governor. He will be back with us Tuesday night taking any and every question you, the listeners, may have. So please don't forget, mark your calendars. We will be on at 8:30 Central with Mike Collier. Okay. Oh, and his website is collierfortexas.org. Thank you very much for that. And without any further delay, here is my friend, Pastor A.F. Riggins, for Wrap It Up Live. Welcome, Pastor.
Hey there, Ms. Bigos. Glad to be on tonight.
Doing well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Glad you're here. You're very loud and clear, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it stays that way. Only when George Nelson gets on and make up my line and then.
Uh-oh.
Like
he's here. He'll be here in a minute.
That's my good friend, yes. My good friend, Dr. George. Yes, we're glad to be on tonight. Continuing troubling issues with number 45. You said, Pastor, seems like you're obsessed with it, but we're not going to be obsessed with it, but we got to be wide awake. We have to be on point to make sure that we don't let things slip up. Slip by us, or we get caught off guard or unaware of what's really going on. So we decide to bomb Syria this week when, yes, it was sad to see those kids with the sarin gas, S-A-R-I-N gas, but this is the same president that says all of the people that's coming out of Syria who were refugees shouldn't be coming to the United States. Most people are running from that stuff. Let me say it again. This is the same candidate and president who said the United States should not accept the refugees coming out of Syria, running from that. However, when speaking comparatively to other attacks that Assad has made on his people, this was a small attack this past week. But the timing is such that we need to divert from the issue of collusion. We need to divert from son-in-law caught up in some issues that's going on, but taking more power from Steve Bannon. We divert from daughter moving in the West Wing to be an unpaid employee of the U.S. government, or for the federal government, unpaid, but part of the government and its administration, while yet running all those companies. Divert away from it because we're meeting with China. While we talk tough with China, we got all these businesses and money in the China bank. It's like we got money in the Russian bank. So that was a diversion. That's how I look at it. And there are even some reports, and it needs to be verified, but some news agencies and some are saying, listen, Putin was not caught off guard. The Putin knew he was going to attack because Putin knows that Trump has to show in the public that he's distanced himself from him because of the pressures on Trump and Putin for the collusion for the election and whatever else might be going on because of the fact that a lot of the money tied up in Russia, that Trump has tied up in Russia. So this attack on Syria, to me, was a sideshow, expensive sideshow, but a sideshow. The issue we have with North Korea, while the president of North Korea, and I always mix up his name, and Mr. P. Gosa fix it for me and tell me the right name, his name.
Kim Jong-il.
See, yeah. And he's crazy. It's all get out. But you got two crazy ones dealing with each other. You know, so he's playing right into the hand of Trump. You know, he wants attention. Trump wants attention to be taken off of him. So, yeah, we're sending down warships down there. You might even go to war with him. Because if we can go to war with him, come on, Vietnam War helped Nixon stay covered up for a long time. We said again, Vietnam War helped Nixon to stay covered up for a long time. Started under Johnson. Nixon continued to cover up his what he was doing until he finally got caught. So it is Ronald Reagan. There was some stuff that Ronald Reagan did, the Iran-Contra scandal, the arms that we had illegally to sell over to the people that were in Nicaragua and the places over there. But we kept on having all these different little military expeditions everywhere. You know, one down in around Jordan area. I forgot the name of the actual place over Lebanon. One in Lebanon. That one we did over Guatemala. Somewhere else we attacked it. But all it was this diversion. Keep covering up. So the firing register, so I was saying, I don't recall, remember anything. I don't know, I'll take the fall. So it is right now. We start seeing the government going to war. The government wants to spend the money on military stuff. It's always a way to get around what really should be happening or to take your eyes off what's really going on. That's why when you look at President Barack Obama, yes, he might have. He put a red line in the sand and crossed it. But, you know, he really didn't want he was tired of wars. He was trying to do away with wars. And he didn't need any war to cover up anything he was doing. What you saw is what you got. Now, a lot of people didn't like what they saw, but what you saw is what you got. A lot of people didn't want what they saw, but what you saw is what you got. What we got, what we have now, we cannot see. What we have now is a fraud. What we have now is there's stuff going on that when it comes out, we hope it don't be too late. And so I don't want to preach gloom and doom, but I do want to be aware and recognize that Donald J. Trump is using military action, using bolstering to other countries, all as a diversion. What's really going on? As it relates to health, education. He's trying to close down public schools by taking the money out and sending it to vouchers. He's trying to eliminate a lot of after school programs, before school Head Start, free lunch programs, Title I, Title III. This is stuff for at-risk students. This is for students who are second language, English second language. This can go on and on. And he don't want us to pay attention to that. He wants to pay attention to bombing going on TV screens. Wrap it up now, Pastor Jeff Wiggins. What are your thoughts? What do you have to say tonight? Where do we go from here? I also ask that because we just can't sit around and just lament about it. What do we do about it? Remember, it'll be here very soon, November 2018. We've got to flip this Congress. Hermes Pigo was talking about a young man is running in Texas for Congress seat. We've got to flip the White House, you know, the House of Representatives. We've got to flip the Senate. We've got to put the Democrats in control so that then we can impeach and remove and thoroughly investigate everything that's being done. We're talking about Donald J. Trump. We're talking about Mike Pence. We're talking about, what's his son-in-law name?
Kushner.
We're talking about Kushner. We're talking about everybody that's involved with their hands in the pot.
Yes.
We've got to figure out what's going on and put a stop to it. Because I would be honest with you, America is getting paid back for the seeds she stole. Mm-hmm. She sold seeds of hate. So seeds of racism. So seeds of division. So seeds of elitism. So seeds of capitalism. Stealing all. And from other countries, so we're getting it back because we have given her the movie about the seed of Chuck, that fictitious story about the Chucky doll that became a boy, it's demonic and all this. We got the seed. We got the seed of it. His name is Donald J. Trump. He's the ultimate face, ultimate actor of capitalism, greed, lying, lust, everything else in between, destruction, confusion,
yes,
and ignorance and stupidity mixed up in there. Because when you kill, it's one thing we all to be involved with all this crazy stuff and be having all this stuff going on. Nothing to get in front of the microphone and can't even put two good sentences together on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he has to be bankrupt to $22 million. You're not too smart. You're not too smart. Go ahead, ma'am.
Dr. Reagan, I just wanted to correct myself from earlier. It's Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-il was his father. So I told you
that's why I said
the wrong name.
Too many Lin. That's why
yes.
He tried. Too many Win, Lin, Unhu,
yes.
Gills. I mean, I'm not trying to be, I'm just being real.
Right.
It's
confusing.
I wasn't even going to try to mess with it. Yeah, but I knew my research in the background, and even after you come out, you research yourself. And I said, wait a minute, that's his daddy. Yeah.
I apologize.
Pastor Nelson. What are you talking about, Pastor Nelson? Is he on?
Your line's open. Yes. Your line's open, Pastor Nelson. Let me make sure he didn't get bumped off. And I do, after Pastor Nelson comments, I do have an update that I saw in the news, and unless I missed it, I'm not sure that you mentioned it yet. Okay, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Nelson is on with us, so we might be on mute on his end. But I'm not sure if you saw this headline, but I saw a headline, and I suspected this just the moment, you know, we heard that we had sent those Tomahawk missiles over to Syria to a vacated airbase that they gave Russia the heads up to vacate. Donald Trump does own stock in the defense company that makes those missiles. So, big shock. He'll make money off of that.
Right. What I'm trying to say is this. And for every president, every political official that we have tried to demean or to connect with, frivolous or even real corruption, Donald J. Trump is so far beyond the pale.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, how is it you grew up in the United States and you've been investigated for dealing with the Russian mob and mafia all these?
Yes.
How is it you could become president of the United States and we don't see your taxes? How is it so see?
Yes.
What happened is that in the face of folk wanting to change back to what they wanted, they want to make America great again, in the bed of racism, they said give us anything but Hillary Clinton because she loves African-American. There's a word called it's an in lover. It was anything but Barack Obama because he is an African American, a true one too.
Mm-hmm.
Dead straight out of Africa, mama right out of America.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take anything, but we. On top of that, you find out that Marco Rubio said, "Hey man, we couldn't even see why this guy was beating us. The Russians helped him win the primary."
Yes.
The Russians helped him win the primary. I don't know if we really understand this. And so people say, well, that's far-fetched. No, it's not far-fetched. Mitt Romney told in 2012, be careful, because Putin is back in control. And we won the Cold War, but now we're losing, and big time, bigly. I want to be celebrated for some reason. Got some stuff in my mind that the fools say. And he is a fool because we read the Bible. All stuff he does, by definition, the Bible, he's a fool. Bigly.
Yes.
He likes to use the word bigly. We lose a bigly. Russia got into us bigly. Are you on this phone? You may be in a meeting or maybe involved in some business transaction or what?
His number's on here twice, so let me open this other one. Pastor Nelson, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm traveling. I'm on.
There we go.
And I got a lot of background noise.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What's going on, brother?
You say what now?
What's going on?
Oh, man, I just coming back from an event where I preached this afternoon, but listening in to the show while I'm heading back to Brenham.
Yes, sir.
And
go ahead.
And, you know, man, we're in a mess. That's all I can tell you. Since last week, we're in a mess. He spent $30 million, but he cut food stamps, cut Medicaid, cut food for older people, trying to stop the CHIPS program, taking money away from schools. But he got $30 million to spend so his stock go up at Raytheon for the missiles that he launched.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Not only stock go up, but also his diversion from the investigating him from the collusion with Putin. And so, you know, this is, and on top of that, Kushner and Steve Bannon are each other's folks. With Ryan Priest in the middle of it.
Yeah, but not only that, he launched missiles on a country that had not attacked us, and that's against the law. If that was Barack Obama, they'd have him impeached by in the morning.
That's right.
Sir. Even though Barack Obama said he drew a red line and said he was smart enough not to go attack them, because he knew if he attacked them, they're going to turn around and say, just like they did with Hillary Clinton in Libya, just say Barack Obama did something crazy.
Yes.
And so, but now Donald Trump does this. You're right. He does this. And it's about his mind changed about Syria. No, his mind said, wait a minute, I need to have something to do to get this heat off of me.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what I believe. And besides the stock in the missile coming in, meaning in the missiles and all that, we got to get the heat off. And not only do we get the heat off of us, but look like we going up against Russia. Look like, you know, they're not going against Russia. And all Russia said was, we're going to take it to the UN Council. And because they already knew that what it was going to do. And they know it's all a game. It's a game. It's propaganda.
Yes.
But people's lives are at stake. Money is at stake. Behind them, and every weekend we playing golf. Every weekend, Thursday we go to Mar-a-Lago, and they go take the Chinese president down there. And what I'm trying to say is this, and I'm gonna say something that might be offensive if somebody listens to this and believes this way. But if it offends you, it's my radio show. Get your own. See, ignorant, low income. Dividend trailer park. Duck commando folks voted for him.
Yeah.
And they say, listen, we don't care if he makes all the money. We don't care if he got missiles. Money in the missile company. We don't care if he's colluding with Trump, with Putin. We don't care if he took it. We just gonna live vicariously through him. That's how I look at it. In other words, he's their hero because they can't have anything, can't be anything, but they won't. But they would rather him have it instead of people who need it to have it. They don't want people on welfare to have it. They don't want people in Medicaid to have it. They don't want folks in the program to have it. They don't want public schools to have it. They'd rather somebody look like what they think America ought to be, capitalism, fat, rich, and crazy, and say, this is our hero. God bless the USA, Lee Greenwood, and then say, you know, damn everybody else.
Yes.
So they have a problem with that, because they're the same ones who said, I need Obamacare. They're the same ones whose children need to go to school and get some education in public school system, too. They're the same ones who, some of them on welfare, too, the Lone Star card. They're the same ones
yes.
who cut off their nose and spiked their face Talking about Trump, yes. Trump.
Absolutely.
I digress.
Pastor Riggins,
yes,
you are so, so on point with everything you just said. I will put a link to, we've discussed this article before, but I'll put the link back up because everyone should read it. The title of it is, I Know Why Poor White Folks Chant Trump, Trump, Trump. It's excellent, and it just goes into full detail and history about exactly who you're talking about. I live in Kentucky, you know. We are the state who probably benefited the most from Obamacare, and the majority, overwhelming majority of folks here who benefited from Obamacare are Caucasian. And the mentality from some percentage of them.
Kentucky is 97% white. And they're 75% welfare recipients.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly
and
where
Mitch
I was
McConnell,
heading.
Mitch McConnell needs to grab by his neck like a turkey.
He doesn't
go
have
ahead.
Much of one to grab.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm talking. Go ahead.
Well, it's the mentality, just like Pastor Nelson just said, 97% white, 78% welfare recipient. We're a red state, a red southern state. And like every other red southern state, Republican controlled, bankrupt, a bunch of white people on welfare that say, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. We don't want our hard-earned money going to welfare. President Obama just gives everybody welfare. You know what they meant by it. That black president gave all of those black folks all that welfare. It's a nonsense meme that, you know, the welfare queen idea that comes from these people who have nothing and will stand there knee-high in pig poop, shoveling it, looking at a news camera, talking about how Trump's a billionaire. He's going to help me. I'll be a billionaire, too. I have nothing.
Rihanna, we're going to give you your black card back. And,
thank you, sir.
I never take it from her. I just keep making it blacker. Just keep making it blacker. That's what I do. Keep burning it blacker. Go ahead.
Why, thank you.
Knee-high and pig poop. I wanted to use another word, pig dung. Pig shit. Anyway, behind pig or whatever. And somehow he gonna make me rich.
Yes. No more handouts for those folks who don't deserve it.
What's the pig call? almost made a blood call for pig call. I hung around.
You did it.
Alternative school, whatever. Making a gangster call, but I'm more like a pig call. Maybe try to call a pig.
Wow. It's just, and I've got a double whammy because I've got the coal miners here too, itching to get back down into that coal mine, get some more black lungs. I mean, how much has to be taken away from them before they realize it's not just, you know, nobody's, it's not a new sheriff coming into town to take all the welfare away from all the undeserving brown folks. That's not what's happening. You're getting it taken away from you, Billy Bob, because what you thought was real isn't real. You're in the welfare state. You're the welfare queen. You know,
because what's
going to
happen
it's amazing.
Is, right. And they take the money and shift it over to the country, good old country, good old boy country club. You know, George Nelson,
right.
I talked to this before. Is it called Gun and Rod, right? Is it called Gun and Rod, George Nelson?
Yep.
I tried in 1998 to join Gun and Rod. They told me I wasn't allowed to join it. I had my $800 and everything, but I was black. I couldn't join it. Can you go join Gun and Rod today, George Nelson? Or is it still like that?
Man, come on. Come on.
they didn't ever take off the sheets, Rev. They still done it raw.
Gunny Rod is a country club where you can play golf and all that stuff. And,
yes.
You know, it's right there in Brenham, Texas, not far from Bluebell Ice Cream. But you got to be Anglo to join. That's where they're going to send the money. See, that's what they want to do. They're sending money to stuff like that, to the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club, and Gunny Rod, and Junior, this kind of club, and take the money away from folks that really need it, including white, brown, mm-hmm. and black.
Yes.
And so, right, so that's, but, you know, but, hey, hail to the
Anglo
chief.
Only, huh?
Hail
yeah, right,
to the chief.
Right. Yes. Making
hail
this country great again, huh?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So you're not talking about 1950s or 1850s. You're talking about right now, right? I think it
yeah,
bears
right.
repeating.
Yeah, yeah right.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying, right. When I was there in Brenham, I couldn't join. I just asked George Nelson, can he join? I left Brenham in 2002. It's 2017. I tried to join in 1998 when I caught myself playing golf for a little while before I started riding horses. And, you know, I
well, you know, you can join the Brenham Country Club, but you can't join the Gunny Rod.
I can't join Brenham. I couldn't even join Brenham Country Club back then. So now
yeah, well,
you can't join Brenham Country Club?
Yeah, they'll let you join Brenham Country Club right now.
Oh, how
okay.
nice.
Oh, that'd be
but
nice.
you can't join Gunny Rod.
Okay.
You know,
how much
it
costs to join the Brenham Country Club? Is it different prices for African American and Anglo, or the same price? Or you don't know. You wouldn't know, honey.
You know they got two price sheets.
Yes, sir. Okay. I think my price would be about $1,600. Your price, their price, probably $800. Yes, sir.
One of those sheets is paper, the other is not.
You know, and if you listen, no, you think we're making jokes. We're making light of it because
right.
of the sincerity of it.
Right.
I recently was at a conference for the Texas State Association, Teachers Association. And George Nelson, they had a conference that went 3 hours and 30 minutes. It was called Institutionalized Racism. Institutionalized Racism. And
well,
we
now?
Dealt with, I recently had a, you know, so I'm part of Teachers, Texas State Teachers Association. It's a union. And I'm the organizing member in my school district, so they ran a lot of them out of there, and so they got to get rechartered. But I went to this conference, and, you know, they had a conference at the union meeting or at the union convention at a conference. It went for 3.5 hours called Institutionalized Racism in Education. The NEA in 2015 put together a resolution that said we're going to deal with it across the United States, institutionalized
yeah.
racism in education. The NEA has 3 million members. We connected with the teachers. And we dealt with the fact that, number one, racism, institutionalized racism is involved in education based on the fact that when Horace Mann created schools, African Americans were not in his mind. Women weren't even in his mind. Anglo
right.
men were in the mind of Horace Mann.
Right.
So now, 200 years later, yes, there have been changes. Yes, we have Brown versus Board of Education. Yes, we have desegregated schools and all that stuff. But the mindset and the template of education in the United States does not favor brown folks and black folks.
Right.
Wow.
And poor folks.
Wow.
Right.
So they determined it is that the standardized testing is not so much to deal with the color of your skin, but with the income level that you live in.
Yeah.
So the whole institutionalized system of African Americans being poor, it's not Hispanics being poor, it's hard for them to pass the standardized test because they're not exposed to the
yeah.
mindset of where the test is made and created.
Yes. Yes.
So
well, yeah, they
kid.
Call we call a they call a they call a pot a kettle, and we call it a pot.
Right.
Right.
Let me tell my story on
exactly.
this, and I've told this story, but I got up at the convention. They would tell the story in Vinton, Louisiana, where I'm from. Desegregation did not happen fully until 1974. In 1974, They closed down a Negro high school. They called it Vinton Middle School, Northside Middle School at the time, Northside Middle School, later became Vinton Middle School. My uncle, who became mayor of the town for two terms later in his life, graduated from the first class of integrated African-American and Anglos in 1974. That same year was my first year in first grade. So I was the first class from first grade to 12th grade to be integrated. You go to my class in union now, I'm the only African-American that shows up over there when I do go. Because of the 12 or 10 of African-Americans that graduated with the 99 students, the whole time we were in the class, yeah, we laughed with them, we talked, we played ball with them, we did that and all that stuff. We always knew that it was in a controlled situation. We were in the capsule inside the school. Outside that schoolyard, outside the capsule of education, we knew that we were different. We live in the quarters. We live across the track. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Mm-mm-mm.
So we start songs like this. Me and my man can pick a bell of cotton. Me and my man can pick a bell of day. Oh, man, me pick a bell of cotton. Oh, man, that's a new class.
Yes.
We saw songs like this.
Wow.
I wish I was the land of Dixie. Dixieland.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was the land of cotton. Well, old times are not forgotten. Look away.
Yeah.
Look away.
Yeah.
Look away.
Oh, wait. Yeah. You know the song. That was in the song books in elementary school. So you set up a mindset. Let me tell you what's even worse. Special education was just starting out.
Yeah.
So here I am. My dad's lost his job, or even if he did have a job at that time at Five Star, he wasn't making enough money to where we had to be on free and reduced lunch. You know, they keep the preachers poor and all that stuff. And so, as they try to do back then. And so, hey, I was on free and reduced lunch, so all African Americans on free and reduced lunch. So they did. They threw us in special education. Well, my dad was down in Detroit.
That was at Brenham.
No, in Vinton, Louisiana.
That's what they do in Brenham.
Yes, sir.
Now.
Here's what happened. Now, sir, so here's the deal. My dad was Valley Victorian of his school when he graduated in 1966. Now I'm stuck in special education. My parents didn't know about it. They sent them up to the house and said, look, we'll put your kid in a special program, blah, blah, blah. My mom and dad would say, oh. They're trying to help you get more education. They thought it was like more education. So they put me in a program. At the end of the school year, and for years, this was up on the wall, I got a certificate for having a 3.96 out of 4.0 on the reading scale. The highest in the whole class of all the students, but I'm in special ed. I was from special ed to the top group of reading in second grade because I didn't belong there.
Right.
Fast forward when I came to Tech, George Nelson, and when they finally let me in Brenham ISD, because I knew my black ball for 5 years, what we did from Martin Luther King Jr. and Thaddeus Lott and getting people in the black men administrators. But they finally, when they finally got the black administrators junior high, my friend, your friend, Artis Edwards, and he hired me, and they sent me back to Prairie View to get my alternative teacher certificate. They say you got to take the reading test, the TAS, T-A-S-P, because you graduated from Louisiana, and maybe Louisiana school's not good at Texas school. I already had a bachelor's degree. Okay, I'll take a test. Guess what I had on that test for the reading? 3.96. At 30 years old, I had 3.96. And I had at 6 years old, 3.96.
Mm.
Well, I was stuck in bed because I was African-American, but was poor.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you see, so design institutionalized racism. Let me go farther.
That's
right now, it's Tri-Fair School District, where I'm a taxpayer. Our union is working right now because against a case where the ESPs are paraprofessionals, people who work in janitorial and all that kind of stuff, they have been marking the Hispanic and African-American applications with a special code to let you know that they were not white. So we're going to case right there, right now. I'm not surprised. Why I'm not surprised? Because I tried to get a job at Texas A&M. They were seeing out to the minority hiring office, like they're trying to help you. Go across A&M by 5 miles, called Minority Hiring Office. This guy was an Hispanic guy trying to help you the whole time. Every time he went there for every application, he put a stamp on it, time and all, and so that let you know this was African American or Hispanic that was applying for a job. So all Texas A&M look and say, listen, we met our quota for the year. We throw that one on the table. We don't need to even look at that.
Sounds like the C on Donald Trump's housing application.
Right. So the reason why we have this show is not because we want to try to beat up Donald Trump. We have this show not because we just want to cry foul about the whole world. We have this show because we want people to be informed that there is, there is a shadow government. Everything he says is true to it, but it's not the truth the way he's trying to project it. What I mean by shadow government, and when that, you know, when Ron Spike comes on and says, man, we don't know everything that's really going on, that's true.
What
I'm trying to say about it is, it's sinister. It is hidden inside of institutionalized racism. It's hidden in the system, the good old boy system. It's hidden in the Gun and Roy Club. It's hidden in places, you know, in which you don't understand. It's not about, don't get twisted. Like, I can't be involved because the government. No, get involved. That's the only way we're going to expose things. That's the only way we're going to break things. We need more people like Dr. King and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
That's right.
We don't just need or two leaders. We need masses of folks to say, we're breaking this wall down. We're tearing up this mess. We're coming through here, and we're going to show what's wrong and make it right. That's what I'm trying to talk about.
Yes. Yes, sir. Wow.
Racism is not overt sometimes. It's just institutionalized. It's already built in the system.
Yes.
And we got to break that system. The new Jim Crow.
Right.
Prison, part of the prison pipeline. For every African American and Hispanic boy that fails reading and can't even read in third grade, they build a prison bed for him. Now, his job is to escape that prison bed before he get there. Let me say it again. For every African American male and Hispanic male that cannot read coming out of third grade, they got a prison bed for him. Now, his job is to escape that prison bed by doing what? Getting his education, trying harder, learning how to read, staying out of trouble, get to make an honest living. Because if he don't do all that, he's going to find himself hitting the streets trying to make quick money, fast money, crazy money. And it'd be just like that song I tried to play one night when Mr. Tego's got the wrong version of it because YouTube don't have the whole full version. If you go into Q Music somewhere and find it. When Stevie Wonder finally gets in the song, the boy finally gets from Mississippi to New York, he gets off the bus. Oh, look at the skyscrapers. He hear police cars coming. My brother runs up to him. Hey, brother, hold this for me, brother. Come on, man. Give me $10. Hold this for me. He takes $10, hold a bag, and the bag full of drugs or whatever. Or a gun that shot somebody. Police come and catch him. Man, I don't know what I'm doing. I just walk across the street. No, we got you. Because we're a jury of your peers. And the jury of your peers is people that only look like him. He's from Mississippi. Come on.
Wow.
We find you guilty. 10 years in the penitentiary. And then the song says, get in there, you in. Get in there. Boom, the door closes. And then it comes back on. Now he's back out of prison 10 years later, walking the streets of New York, begging like a homeless person, living just for the city. Because the problem of it is, it's set up. You got to beat the institutionalized little. You have to beat the setup.
Yes. Yes.
Talk to me, George Nelson.
That was powerful, Pastor Riggins.
He might have ran out into the hills of Brenham, and you can't hear him. You can't hear him anymore.
He's out there. Out there hiding. Because you were just too real just now. Pastor Riggins, that was very, very powerful.
Well, it's just what we're just trying to speak truth. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to share with us tonight? No, last week the young man came on, and we finally had to mute him down because he was talking some stuff, and some of it, his motive was to say we need, as African Americans, not cry about foul. We need to get involved, and I understand that. But you cannot discount that the system is already set up.
That's right.
We can't blame ourselves for what somebody else doing to us. Now, blame ourselves for sitting around saying because they're doing it to us, we're not going to do anything about it. We can't get so religious and try to say we're going to get wrap it all up into what, you know, so to speak, if we get so much of the Holy Spirit and so much of God that we run all this out of, no. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Yes, pray. Yes, believe. But then you got to get the word. You got to expose yourself
for this. Living just enough for the city.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Talk to everybody.
Yeah, living just enough. Just enough. For the city, yeah. Da 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 da. But you know what?
Yes, sir.
They've got these prisons that they're paying for now, and prison for profit. And with this fool, I mean, with your president in office, they got to fill those jails. Texas, I might have told you this before, just went into a $1 billion contract with private prison. Man, they're gonna have to fill them prisons.
That's what I'm telling you.
They're gonna have to fill them.
So, what do you want to put your money into? You want to put the money into education or into the prison?
Prison.
Right.
Prison.
That's
because,
what they want to do.
Because the whole process is to destroy.
Yes.
Destroy. They're trying to destroy a certain group of people.
Yes.
And the Browning of America scared the hell out of them. Scared the Hades out of them folks.
Yeah,
let me tell
the Browning of America, and they have been talking about that for a long time. This has just been pop up. They've been worried about this for a long time, and Donald Trump gave them the opportunity to pull the trigger.
That's right.
Because the Democratic Party and Russia, Democratic Party underestimated them. And Russia helped him, even in the primaries. Did you hear about how he,
right.
how the reason he won against them 17 folks?
Right. Yeah, I said it earlier in the show. I said it earlier in the show. You're right. That Russia was involved even with them.
Yeah,
and that's why they lost. And you know what? And to show how big of fools they are, they don't care.
Right.
Well. Marco Rubio and a couple of them that really had their feelings on their sleeve trying to talk about it. But really, right, as long as Hillary Clinton didn't win, an end lover, they don't care.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And really, they have what Putin has done is shown that our democratic system ain't worth what the monkey left on the tree.
Mm.
And a
That's
monkey
right.
eat everything off the tree. All that he leave is doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
That's courtesy of my mama.
I like it.
that man should not be president. He's the illegitimate president. And you are confirming Supreme Court Justice lifelong appointment on a man that is, and he fired those missiles to wag the dog.
Yes. Yeah. What about the 2,000 people that his bombs that he dropped over there killed in March alone? There were beautiful babies he's been killing all month. Why do they matter now?
That's what I'm talking about, right? This was a small incident that Assad did, but the timing was Trump wanted to get the heat off himself.
Exactly. And Twitter's not working quite as well for him to do that as it had been. We're not letting up on this Russia stuff. Oh, by the way, can I quickly just tell everyone, anyone who isn't aware of you guys gave plenty of context for the song Dixie, but that's also the song Jesse Helms. Everybody remembers who that senator was. Extremely, extremely racist senator who was there forever. At one point when we had only one African-American senator who was in the Senate, during the time that Jesse Helms was serving. I believe she was the first female African-American senator. She had the unfortunate luck.
Carol Moseley Braun?
Yes, that's it. That's her. Carol Moseley Braun. She had the unfortunate occasion to have to ride in the elevator with Jesse Helms, and he stared her right in the face in the elevator and began singing that song in her face the entire ride up the elevator and laughed about it.
And she was from Chicago.
Yes.
And then let me, to put more context to that, people ran away from the South to Chicago to try to get free.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, to have a better life. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something else. At that convention and at that conference about the institutionalized racism, there's a new book out called Brown is the New White.
Yes.
Brown is the New White. Brown is the New White. I was able to pick up, I was able to win a door prize of a book that I was, had been looking at parts of it on YouTube and never got my hand on a full copy yet. Michelle Alexander, The New Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the prisoner pipeline. The pipeline to prison.
Yeah, that is an awesome book. I have it. I have that one. I have the Michael A. Dyson. Just finished reading it.
What book did he write, brother? Because I like to hear him talk every time.
Right up your alley.
Tears That Won't Stop. A Sermon to White Folks.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yes.
I bet it's full of poetic lines in it.
It's beautiful.
Oh, man.
It's perfect.
Oh, man. The blood of Emmett Till.
Right.
Slavery by Another Name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all the different chapters?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're different books.
Mm.
Oh. Man, look here. Yeah. I started showing Emmett Till stuff back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime an African-American student start using the N-word around me, I do two things. I show them Emmett Till in that casket, and I show them the Google images of black men hanging from trees.
Yes. Yes.
And they say, man, every time I show them that, because you talk about strange fruit is, no. Man, I show them. Because in any given time,
that's
in the 40s and 50s and 30s, if you're just in the wrong place, wrong time at night, in the wrong place somewhere, like that time on that movie, Debaters, The Great Debaters, like they headed to Prairie View from Washington, Texas, and in the middle of the night, they run from the road, a tree, and the two guys hanging from the tree. Because at any given time, people came up missing.
Yes.
My grandfather told me how his uncles and stuff, some had to run to Seattle, run here, run there, and some cousins that did not get out sometimes. Once they decided to come after you, the KKK or a group of businessmen or anybody in the city thought you done wrong, man, shoot, they'll find you in a tree the next night.
Right.
You're through.
Right.
You could have your stuff going to college. You could be talking about getting married. You could talk about having a business. But you just at the wrong day, the wrong time, went in the wrong place, did the wrong thing to somebody. And they say, we threw that in. We're going to hang him tonight.
Or you may not have said anything to anybody because we found out
he
was lying. He was lying.
Now we find out, all the while, because from the Emmett Till story, we try to teach the young men, look, always respect people because, you know, he was a young boy. He didn't know no better. And he said, hey, baby, you know, even though, you know, it was out of line, he shouldn't have got killed for it. We found out now he didn't say anything.
Nothing.
It could have been something like this. Y'all don't hear me. I'm going to get ready to go deep on you now. It could have been something like this. She went home, and she might have a boyfriend. I don't know what was going on. Her husband tried to say, something ain't right around here. And the black boy messing with me. Okay. It's going to kill him tonight.
Yes. Pastor, she did have a boyfriend. She did.
I didn't even know that. All I know is that lady came out, she said she lied about Emmett Till. See, I didn't even know that.
Yes. Yes, she was covering her own tracks.
Right, she did know that Emmett Till was in town for the summertime. And see, that's what I'm saying. He was dispensable. He was dispensable. He wasn't from Chicago. And he's going around showing people supposedly white girlfriends in his wallet or his white friends that go to his school in his wallet.
That's right.
And then when they bought a husband on trial and a brother on trial, they're going to say, when he told us he had white girls for friends, we said, boy, you ain't going to never see the sun come up. And shot him at so close range, it come out of the other side of the head. He said, Pastor, I want to hear all that. No, this is what we're dealing with. We're still in that same mentality. Donald Trump, daddy was KKK. Donald Trump is a KKK.
Yes.
He just don't wear the sheets. You see, people don't want to hear all that. Respect, pray for your cousin. I'm not praying for somebody like that. I'm praying against that. America is not a Christian nation. We're a religious nation. We were part of God's kingdom if you're a believer. But you got to be real about this. If your daddy is KKK, and you don't come out and denounce the KKK, and the KKK stand up for you, and the white nationalists stand up for you, and Steve Bannon is a white nationalist, and you got him as your chief advisor, don't get twisted.
Yes,
sir. Just because you put president in front of the name don't mean that make it right. You're still the same crazy fool. You just happen to become president of the United States because somebody stole the election for you.
That's right.
That's where I'm going with that.
Don't put
CNN, NBC, CBS, and all that kind of stuff in the interview against somebody else. They won't. You think Angela Rye be going off? No. Because, see, I'm not going against the person. I don't even know that person. So I'm not going against you who trying to talk against me. I'm going to tell you about what I believe to be the truth. Now, just like I just said, I didn't even hear the Emmett Till story that she had a boyfriend. But I imagine how it happened.
Right.
How come all these years later said she lied about it? She was trying to cover up something that her husband found out. And so the story came that she'd been assaulted by the black guy, verbally assaulted. 14 years old.
Yes.
Tied him to the bottom of the river, to the bottom of a fan, put him in the river after they shot him.
Mm-mm. That's right.
That was 1955. It's 2017. And I'm telling you, yes, we have black crime. Yes, we have the games. Yes, we have Chicago going on. Yes, we have Compton. Yes, we have Southwest Houston. But at the same time, a lot of this violence has been created because violence begets violence. The Bible tells you that violence breeds violence.
Yes, yes.
So you create a community where folk at each other's throat and have no space to live on top of each other and can't get out of the system, then what they do, they turn on each other and start fighting.
Yes.
Now, we as African American community got to come in and start trying to deliver ourselves, help each other, bring them the good news of the gospel. We're talking about religion, but if we're not talking about Christianity, let's talk about what? Bring them some money and find out not just give you something, but how to build your own businesses, how to get out of trouble. We still got to be aware of that while all that's going on, doing all the good we want to do, there's still evil lurking around. And one of the evil lurking around is racism.
Yes.
There's still evil lurking around. It's greed. It's greed.
Yes.
It's elitism. There's still evil lurking around.
That's right.
That's why we have to keep do what we do on Sunday nights, keep firing you up so you can be aware of what's going on. You're not going to lie to us. Who want to talk to me? Somebody might come on my phone. Somebody might come out here and say something 108 degrees different from me, like we did last Sunday. I'll engage you for so long, but when you go too long, I'm not going to let my audience think I'm agreeing with all that. And so then we'll just say, okay, we need to try to correct some of that. Who want to talk about Sam Riggins? Because the other one, go get your show. Go get your show if you're going to do all that.
We've got a lot of callers.
Hey, where's John? Where's Ronald Spikes at?
You know, I think he's listening online. Oh, he might be one of the callers down below. Ron, press 1 if you can talk, please. Can I add one sentence to everything you just said? Because I just think it's so important. Because you started out with when you've heard a student use the N-word, you specifically show them
you tell them about Emmett Till, and you show them the lynchings. I just have to point out that we're not talking lynchings that only occur when people have sheets over their head in the dead of night in secret, like an open big secret in the dead of night. We're talking families who remove the sheets to lay them on the ground as a picnic with their children to participate in this 40 and 50 years ago here. Less than that even. That's what we're talking about, everybody. More real than real. An American pastime for white folk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mainstream. No,
right.
Mainstream.
Some of these lynchings were like public events.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some of these lynchings were public events.
Like a picnic at the park with your children. Literally. I mean, some of these pictures, terrible.
Let me tell you an inside story of the Emmett Till story. If you have go on YouTube, there's a whole series called Eyes on a Prize. When I was in college, Ron Williams, who later became part of Fox News, I don't know what happened to him.
Right.
He did Eyes on a Prize. He was part of Eyes on a Prize series. He used
Isn't
to be
that incredible?
On Real to Real. Then it came out on VHS. Now you can get it on DVD. But you also can watch it off of YouTube. So during the Emmett Smith trial, Dallas Cowboys, Emmett Till, George Nelson, the Texans couldn't even get turned around on. Anyway, I digress. During the Emmett Till trial, one of the reporters was an African-American guy, Chicago, whatever. I forgot his name. He was trying to get in the press box. He was the only black guy there. And so the sheriff came out there and was saying, well, who is this guy? So the other African-American guy said, he's a press guy. So the sheriff went up there to the judge and said, judge, this N here told me that N out there is a press guy. You think we should all let this N in here? And he was using the whole word. Judge said, tell that boy to come sit up here by the jury. He's going to sit by the jury. Grown man, tell that boy to come sit up by the jury. That was the mentality during that time.
Right.
We're not too much removed from that mentality. Let me say it again. I don't know if you understood what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Hold on. What you mean during the time, man? They at Pasadena City Council meeting just last week, the mayor called a Hispanic city councilman. Boy, don't say what you got to say.
See, that's what I'm saying. I be trying to see. That's why I have, you know, you think sometimes some stuff I'm talking about, folks say, Riggins, why are you going in there? Why are you doing all this stuff? I just try to lay it out there, let you know, you got to be aware. See, let me say this. Nothing wrong with watching sitcoms and all that. But sometimes we spend too much time getting entertained and we don't get informed. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get too entertained, we don't want to get being informed. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. But we got to get informed, too.
Yes.
Simon, you say Simeon Booker was a reporter? That was his
name?
Simeon
Booker.
You know,
Simeon Booker, yes. To be a Negro newsman is the story that he wrote about reporting on the Emmett Till murder trial.
See, but I watched this off Eyes on the Prize. Eyes on the Prize. So you got the book about it. So you verified the story, but on Eyes on the Prize, he's like, because he's black and white, you know, but he looked like a light-skinned fellow, kind of with freckles, whatever, kind of like me, afro. And he said, they treated me. He said, I came in there, and he said, they didn't want to let me in the press corps. Because he was white. Remember now, this whole thing was he's drinking the white water fountain, black water fountain, white restroom, black restroom. So they didn't want to let him in the press corps. He said, so one African American said, this man is in the press. He's from Detroit or he's from whatever, from Chicago. Whatever. He said, I think it was Dark Free Press, I think. He said, this end here, because I'm not going to use that word, said that end there is a reporter. What should we do with the end?
Oh, my.
And the judge said, tell that boy to come feel about a jury. That's what we'll let him do.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean back then, man? Look, look. In Washington County, when they picked the grand jury, they selected my name. You know, you got to be referred, and they selected my name, and they had me as an alternate juror. Yeah, because they didn't want to put me on the grand jury, because they know I wasn't convicted. Nobody black.
Yeah.
I wouldn't indict nobody, and I had too much influence. I'd have influenced the whole group. I'd have made them all start cussing and talk about niggas. the sad part about it is that I hear you talk about history, historical facts 50 years ago and stuff like that. Like, this is the 49th anniversary of Dr. King being assassinated. And, you know, but it's still going on, man.
Yes.
And it's more covert than it is overt. More overt, excuse me, than it is covert.
Right.
It's wide open. Back and they don't care. They don't care how you feel about it. They don't care what you think.
Yeah.
You know why? You've been voted in by electing a racist as president of the United States.
You're
Donald Trump is not a racist.
Yes.
You build a wall to keep out Mexicans, you're a racist. When you say we want to get rid of Muslims, you're racist. When you say that Frederick Douglass is still doing a good job, you're racist.
Yes.
Right.
Because you don't even know who Frederick Douglass is.
Exactly. Exactly. He's doing a heck of a job. Heck of a job.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass is doing a heck of a job. Shoot, this is not 1850.
Wow.
Let me calm down.
He's a real up and comer.
Talking about I was born the same year Dr. King was killed. He got killed April 4th, 1968. I was born October 7th, 1968, so I was already conceived before he died. A month or so. Okay? Here's the deal, almost a month. 49 years. Next year gonna be 50 years. I want to show the kids at the school. Look, this is 49 years Dr. King got. You know, we've had benchmark testing and we had a little time on hand. Let me show this to you. Don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got classroom full of African American and Hispanic kids. They don't care about that. I said, maybe you understand that the reason why you at this school. Even though it's still a public school and we need a lot of help in it, but the reason why you're not somewhere in a second-rate school with less than what you already don't have is because this man gave his life for you to do this.
See?
You forgot to add that.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say that to him because once I call you a name, like fool, because you're hacking a fool, you're going to tell your mama that I called you a fool. But you can cuss and say everything else you want to say, even though you're 11 or 12 years old. This is sixth grader. And you don't understand to sit your butt down and honor what this man did for you. You know, this man giving his last speech, he talking about sitting around the...
Rihanna, have you ever heard my daughter sing?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to have to sing you a CD.
Please.
I'm changing. I'm doing a Donald Trump on it.
hey, look
at this. I'm going to have to sing you my daughter's CD.
Shut up, Mike. I told you it's on the show. It's on the scene all the time on the show. Shut up, Mike. His daughter sees very well. I try to get over to my church. Be the worship leader anyway. Shut up, Mike. I want to finish this song. But I know what he's doing, though. He clowned me. What he's trying to show you is that it's sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Don't even understand what's going on. Now, what they kept asking me, is there a video of the shooting? The video when he got shot. It's a video. They want to see the violent part of it.
Oh.
Is it video? Oh, I said, no. I said, but they shot him in the neck like he's a deer. Long close range. I said, they laying on the ground right there. But they pointing, they pointing, they pointing. But where's the video at? There's no video.
My gosh.
But when he's speaking.
The revolution won't be televised.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about he bent in the mountaintop, he's seen the promised land. They don't, they're oblivious. When I use
right.
Mike Tyson. How Mike Tyson said they're oblivious. They're oblivious to it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an understanding.
Right.
I go farther with this, and I'm going to get off here tonight because it's already 9:13. Wow, time passed by when you're really talking a lot. He was down in Memphis, Tennessee. Does God walk around with things? I am a man. You know why they were saying I am a man? They had no insurance, no life insurance, no health insurance, no vacation days. They had maggots on their clothes when they got home.
Yes.
And two of them on a rainy day, the electric thing got caught off track because it was raining and swallowed two of them up in there and killed them. And had no benefits for their family.
That's right.
And Dr. King was down there trying to help those poor people get their rights.
Yes.
But the FBI was mad because he was preaching against the Vietnam War. And they killed him and set up James Earl Ray. They said, we got some package for you to pick up downstairs. It was the gun and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him a ticket to London. They gave him all this. He was an informant for the FBI. And then they went and got him and said, you the one done it. And we sit around, that's why I say when they talk about, we sit around all day long. And don't know what's really going on.
Right.
And our kids don't even care. Our kids don't even care. Because somebody, somewhere, a generation did not do what we're doing. That's why me and George Nelson are doing this. Because we want to lose another generation of folks that don't know and don't understand.
Yes.
George Nelson.
And history repeats itself.
Right.
Sorry.
If we don't break the cycle, it repeats itself.
Yes.
What are your closing words, Mr. Nelson? You made it back to Brenham?
Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Go ahead. Drop the mic.
You don't want to hear what I got.
Drop the mic.
Hey, Doc, but we got to keep on pressing on, man. It's a calling. It's not by choice. It's a calling, and we can't let go. Can't give up, can't give in, can't throw in the towel. If we can say one, we've done our job. So
yes,
keep the good work up, my brother. Keep pressing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All right. Tonight, we've been listening to Rapper the Lab, Pastor Eric Riggins. Thank you, Ms. Pigos, for being our engineer, producer, and contributor, research, and contributing in our conversation. And Dr. George Nelson, the contributor, almost co-host, take his own show. Thank you, artists, for being out there. Baron Glass, creator of this show. Thank you, Mr. Ron Spice, for the platform. May God bless you is our prayer. And song is Jesus' love tonight.
The road and teach them. Follow your star wherever it leads.